I got it all in my boogie book.
Yeah.
My boogie book.
It's right there.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Bookkeeper. 24/7.
I got it all in my boogie book.
We in our bag now.
All in my boogie.
Yo. Hey. Yo. Yo. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello.
24/7, Lord, hit him with the glow.
Bling.
New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. The true fellowship with the saints, boy, you know.
You know.
I keep the book, but I used to keep the foe. Hit it in my heart, and I put it on my phone.
Okay.
Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow. And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by TBK247.com. Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but their testimony, musical influences, and other topics throughout our culture. On the 18th episode, Daryl chops it up with our family friend, his brother, Pastor Eddie C. Richardson. They discuss the many titles of being a pastor, bridging the gap between the church and people, plus how his workplace becomes his pulpit. Also, they discuss having too much pride as a pastor, how important it is to steal away, and of course, Christian hip hop. And without any further delay, Let's go.
What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holler, and you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop, like with the homie, the one and only, Daryl Kemp. Go check out my music and plenty more on the bookkeeper247.com. We come this far by faith. Believe that.
Artist spotlight.
Thank you, Lord, for watching me closely. You fill me up with your spirit, you Holy Ghost me. You put my head on straight like it's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
I start resisting the devil, so he's supposed to flee. And you restored my soul, you brought me out the dark.
Yes, you did.
Life threw curveballs, you hit him out the park.
Yes, you did.
And you stopped my pain, it couldn't bury me. Even though my mind frame was truth or daring me, I chose truth and the proof is in your promises.
Yes, and, amen.
And I confess my sins, you love the honestness. I always had the respect for your authority.
Oh, yeah.
But wasn't backing it up with my priorities. I repent and I know life got valleys and peaks. Feel like I'm peaking, I left them valleys out in the streets. I feel mature now, my thoughts on the holy heavens. Relaying hope in my rhymes for my sisters and brethren. Help them see the light.
Help
I pray
us.
For all my family, friends, and my loved ones. Apparently they prayed for me when I was on them drug runs.
Thank you.
Never thought I'd make it back to you. Thought I would die in my sins, cause that's the life I was attracted to.
Lost.
But wise words from my grandpappy. Faith don't quit, and living righteously can keep a man happy. Rest in peace, Bishop Strada. I know you proud of me. Cause everything you stood for is coming out of me. I dropped a tear when I was writing this. Cause God truly wanted smoke with everything that I was fighting with.
Almighty.
I know he's real cause of my testimony.
Yeah.
I know that Christ is coming back for his bride with holy matrimony.
Oh, yeah.
The hands on the clock, they steady waving. Saying goodbye to every day that passed by. Time steady fading. But time don't stop in God's plan. That's why I choose to kick my feet up and recline back in God's hands.
Yeah, and I can live forever. Oh yeah, and I can live forever. Yeah, and I can live forever.
Oh yeah. My mind was infested with sick thoughts that circled like a bracelet. So many 365s
wasted.
I played the corner like Kawhi with the fade. Back when the hustle hand to hand, man to man was the wave.
That's how we did it.
Me and my compadres got it the hard way. Only if we knew what it's worth to get it the God way. Can't put a figure on the value. But just to tell about his hope and his glory, I'm more than proud
to.
I just want to live my purpose out.
Double back and re-up on amazing grace, like if the work was out. I serve a big God, the shepherd hold a big rod, and the spirit complete the Godhead. That's a his squad. I step it up another level, meditate the word. Another demon bites the dust and Satan ate the curb. Like Osaka, I can't wait to serve. Not my will, but thy will. Doesn't matter how I feel. I'm not the one to place the sun in the moon. And moreover, I'm not the one to raise the sun in the tomb. Nah, I'm just a humble servant giving praise. Humble. I smacked the devil with the shovel upside his head when he was digging graves. He had a nice one with my name on it. He saw my soul burning eternally with never-ending flames on it. Too bad he not the author of the story. He's just a peon, a good footrest to put my feet on. He need the weak hearted to feed on. And he know I ain't the one, cause I've been rebirthed and reborn. It's no religion, it's my lifestyle. I hear the voice of God speaking on decisions in my life now. I wish we all could come to know the faith. Please. And start living like we know we gotta meet the maker face to face. Please. Don't let this cold world fool you. The worst thing you could ever hear is depart from me. I never knew you, but with Christ, yeah, you can live forever. Oh yeah, you can live forever. Yeah, you can live forever. Oh yeah.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy BRM.
Hey yo, this is D-Rock.
What's good? This is your boy Intellect.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell.
What's good, everybody? This your boy TC, and you rocking with the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast, whose hands always on that plow. So keep it tuned in, cause we in the field, man, changing the culture for God. Let's go.
Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, where we don't want nothing on the book. We getting in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, that is. Follow us as we follow him as we navigate through this world, changing the culture for God through media. I want to give a special shout out to my beautiful wife for that excellent intro, and my partner Get 'em J for the dopest intro music in podcasting. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the podcast, family, where we keep it Christian, we keep it about the culture, and we definitely keep it hip-hop. Without further delay, I want to welcome Pastor Eddie C. Richardson to the podcast. What up, what's up, and what it do, Pastor Richardson?
What's up, Brother Darrell Kemp, my man, TBK 247. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We know this podcast is going to be edifying. What we like to do is treat it like a conversation more than an interview. So let's get right into it. Since I want the ratings and I know some of your congregation is listening, what sin have you committed that you don't want anyone to know of?
that right now, as you asked me that question, I said a cuss word. I cursed you out. So I'm asking the Lord to forgive me, God, for now, thank you for not allowing me to verbalize the curse word, but God, forgive me for cursing out my dear brother in my head.
Yes, sir. That fit right into the lesson this week where we were talking about freedom from sin. And it was a moment in the class was brought up. That's why we repent for every word, thought, and deed, because that's what we're going to be judged by. Every word, thought, and deed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's Romans 6. And Paul is teaching in there.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, let's take it back to the beginning. Tell us, where are you from?
Man, I'm born and raised in Linden, Alabama. That's Marengo County. It's in the Black Belt area of the state of Alabama. And for those that don't know, the Black Belt is called the Black Belt, because that was where many of the settlers of this country found rich black soil. And so this strip of soil throughout the state of Alabama is called the Black Belt. And they left the Commonwealth states and came down into Alabama and began to use people like us and slaves to plant cotton along that area. So that's where I'm born and raised, in Linden, Alabama, in an area like that.
What type of, knowing that type of history about where you're from, mm-hmm. how did that affect your childhood coming up?
Oh man, it you know, it kind of insulated me to my own ethnic group, where, you know, a lot of in that area, because a lot of those landowners in the area where we grew up, where me and my family grew up, they still, you know, you still had a quite a bit of that racist aura still in the area. And so as a result of knowing those things, you know, it definitely kept us on, quote unquote, outside of town, made us be very watchful of people of different ethnicity. And also just made us aware, made us more aware and desiring to know who I am. And I'm thankful for that as well, that even growing up in that type of environment, where you experience racism and one side of the tracks is black, the other side is what they would say white, color wise, but different ethnicities. It made me seek out who am I, who are my people, and try to have a greater sense of pride about myself and my family.
Yes, sir. I can imagine that. So what brought you to Birmingham? How did you end up from Linden, Alabama, the Black Belt, to Birmingham, Alabama?
The great Miles College in Fairfield, Alabama. I came up here in 1993. Once I graduated high school, my mom and dad packed me and my brother up and brought us up here to Miles College. And I've been in this area ever since. And I definitely thank them for that. You know, getting out of that area, you know, because that's that Black Belt area, you know, cotton was king during the times of slavery, and a little bit later in the sharecropping era. But after I came up, you know, it wasn't much to do so far as, you know, being able to gain finances, any types of jobs or anything like that. So my parents told me, hey, let's take you to Miles College. And I've been up here ever since.
Amen. I wonder, well, not from you being from the Black Belt, but I remember when I moved from, well, I went to the service first, but from San Antonio to the service, to Florida, to Birmingham. But I came here when I was in high school. I would come for half the summers and then I would leave and go back to San Antonio for back then. We know these kids ain't that tough. We had 3-a-days back then though, but nah, that's just a jab at the youngsters, right? But I know my experience through coming to Birmingham, Alabama was a magnitude of emotions, because I could not believe how urban Birmingham was. Being well-traveled all my life with my parents in the Air Force and, you know, me moving around in the service and things like that, I had never seen this many of the culture in one place at one time. Did you have any similar experiences?
No, because, you know, you were well-traveled. You know, I'm coming from a place that's, you know, country. All right, so, you know, coming to Birmingham was, hey, that's what we wanted. Birmingham was always the big city to us, right? So, you know, when we living in Linden, we would go to Selma, Alabama. They had a mall. We would go to Tuscaloosa. They had a mall. And Birmingham had multiple shopping areas and stores and, you know, the major airport here. So the Birmingham area was always city for those of us that stayed in the rural parts of, well, I won't say for everybody, but for persons in my area, where we grew up in Linden, Alabama, yeah, Birmingham was always a place that you wanted to go. And we would be so amazed when we would drive up here. And funny story, it was I don't know how this started, but even once I got into Birmingham, I realized that it was a story that people in this area all also said too. So on the interstate coming from, so we would have to leave Linden, come up to Tuscaloosa, and then we would get on interstate I-20-59 to come into Birmingham. And right outside of Birmingham in the Bessemer area, there's this big house that when you're coming in into the city, it sits over on the right-hand side. And so the story was that's Bo Jackson's house, right? and as I got up here, like every time we came to Birmingham, you look over, you can't wait till you pass Bo Jackson's house. You know what I'm saying? Great athlete, Bo Jackson. And I was real disappointed that once I got up here and started talking to people from Bessemer and other places, they said, man, that's not Bo Jackson's house. I said, man, they just crushed all my little childhood memories coming to Birmingham. And Bo Jackson always, a great athlete and looked up to him, in that way. So, and to see his house as we thought, right? So that was always funny. So Birmingham's always been a place that we desired to be, in a sense, being from rural area. Not that we didn't, we always value our own home and where we're from, but coming to Birmingham was always a big deal.
Yes, sir, I get that. Bo knows, but Bo knew that wasn't his house too.
Yeah, and Bo knows that wasn't his house too. We just did.
Yes, sir. That's all right. Man, I know you're a man of many titles. A man of God, a husband, a dad, son, brother, and entrepreneur. How hard is it to maintain all the titles?
Man, it is... It is as hard as the floor beneath me, because that's where I have to always place my knees and my face in order to maintain that. I always have to bow down in prayer. So that's the only time that I feel the hardness of it is when I'm on the floor before God in prayer. And then once I get up from prayer, I feel empowered. I feel strengthened. I feel calm to handle the things that need to be handled. Now, I'm not saying that days don't come without stress or strain or struggle. Not that everything gets done like it needs to get done and when it gets done, but there's a calm that resides over me when I continue to bow down before the presence of the Lord and submit all of the various things that I have to do to Him, and He enables me to get the job done, so to speak. So and I'm grateful to God for His grace and His mercy and His strength in that way that I can always access the throne. As it says in Hebrews, come boldly before the throne of grace. And being bold before the throne of grace is not a sense of entitlement or a sense of pride or something to brag about, but it's humbling to know that I have a God that desires my presence and that has all of the answers that I need for every situation that I'm presented with. So that's how I strive to handle it. It's just going before God and letting God guide me, because I wouldn't be any of these things without God, right?
Amen.
Proverbs speaks to the fact that, you can make your plan, but God is the one that directs the steps, right? And John 15 talks about being a part of the vine. And Jesus says in there in one part in John 15 about that vine, saying that apart from me, you can do nothing. And so I have to remind myself of those things, because sometimes, yeah, I'm human, and I can have a sense of pride and ego, you know, get in the way of, and start to think that, you know, when things are going good, then, you know, my ego, my internal ego, and Satan draws into that and tries to tell me, man, you're doing good. You know, keep up the good work, man. Look at how you did that, man. Nobody could do that like you. And then I'm like, nah, it's a lot of people that can get this done, right? You know, as long as they depend on God. And I had to remind myself that no, it's not me, but it's the God within me that enables me to achieve the things that I'm able to do.
Amen. Let's go to church already in the first segment. I knew it was going to be a breakthrough. Let's go to church. Man, I appreciate that, for sharing that. Being a pastor adds multiple more titles to you as well. A counselor, financial specialist, praying for the sick and the shut-in, visiting the sick and the shut-in, baptisms, doctors, and conducting eulogies while trying to console the family while they face the sting of the death of a loved one. Now, I know, like you said, where you get your strength from as a pastor, but how important is it to wind down and get some much needed rest as well?
Man, this, I have on my phone, and my iPad is synced to the same iCloud. I got my schedule on there. That, you know, at around 10 o'clock, it goes in the DND, you know, and shuts off. And you know, I got my time when it comes back on in the morning. So all notification, unless you're in that favorites section, you know, important section, I'm not gonna get the notification, you know. But you know, and of course, I have it set where if I get a certain number of calls so many times, then you know, then it'll alert me for emergency purposes. But that's how I do it. You know, I have to set limits for myself in that way, and I think God even demonstrated that to us through the life of Jesus Christ, where through all of the work and ministry that he would do, he would take the time to steal away for prayer, right? Mm-hmm. Although he had sympathy for the crowds, he understood that he was no good for the crowd if he was physically worn out, that he had to go and replenish himself through prayer. He had to replenish himself through stealing away and getting away from everything and everybody, right? That's why I like the fact that Jesus chose fishermen for some of his disciples, because that gave him instant access to a boat. And with the boats, they would get in the boats and they would sail away. Right. And I've been on one cruise in my life, and just watching the water, being out there, is a different calming effect in itself. Before I even went to sleep on the cruise that I went on, just being on the deck and seeing the waves and hearing the water was a calming effect, and to see the land disappear as you float away from it. And so I take that into account, same way Jesus did, in that, you know, that's the example that I try to live by, is that if Jesus took the time to steal away from everybody, to get away, take some time for himself to pray and to just rest for some time, right? Because we also know that during one of those boat scenes in scripture, Jesus was asleep in the hull of the ship, right? It was a great storm, great tempest going, and Jesus was asleep. The storm didn't even wake him up, right? So that tells me that Jesus, in all of his divinity, but yet being in human form, needed rest. So who am I not to steal away, you know? And a lot of time there, like I see where worldly concepts and worldly teachings and different persons that are so-called successful in the worldly view, you know, they say, you know, money doesn't sleep, right? And therefore you shouldn't sleep, right?
Well, that's right.
You know, and they say, hey, you got to grind, you got to get it, you know? And I understand the work. I understand the grind. And I do believe that you know, you should work. Scripture tells us that as well. You don't work, you're not going to eat. But I try to live by that example of Jesus, brother, that you need to get some rest, because the more rest I get, the more refreshed I am and the more efficient I am in my day. And I think that's what some people sometimes we don't take into account, is that we work a lot and we do a lot of things, but how efficient are you in doing these things? I had one of my clients during this pandemic, I had to coach some of my clients on how to cut their hair, right? And one of them, he's still been cutting his hair some, and he still comes by the barbershop too. And so he reminded me the other day that he said that I had told him a while back, he had asked me, like, how was I able to cut hair in the time span that I was? And I told him, if you have a sharp set of clippers, a good set of clippers, and they're sharp, one pass over a section of hair cuts that section. And so you don't have to keep on repeating going over one section. And so he said, while he was cutting hair during the pandemic, cutting his hair, he remembered that and made sure that he didn't just do a whole lot. And he said he got the hang of it. And I think that's what happens with the world. That's what happens sometimes even in ministry. We think that we have to keep on doing a whole lot of things, and we end up lacking efficiency in the work that God has called us to do. And so we have to pull away, rest, make your plan, and then move efficiently in carrying out the ministry that God has called us to do.
Amen. See, this is why I love when the Bible say be around like-minded. Because, see, we moving into the next question, like you got the question right in front of you, right? So here's the shameless plug. So I know you're one of the best barbers in Birmingham. How do I know? Because you're my barber. Give a shout out and tell all our listeners in Birmingham the name of your shop and where it's located.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you for the plug. Yes, we are located barbershop is Blueprint Barbers and Styles, located at 2160 Suite A, as in Apple, Green Springs Highway, Birmingham, Alabama, 35205. You can also find us, you hit us in the Google, if you search Blueprint Barbershop, we should pull up, and you should be able to click on our site, click on our app. Our app is functioning through Vigaro. And you can click on that, log in, create your login, book you an appointment, and we'll see you when you show up. Shout out to my brother, Michael Smiley Bay, my fellow co-worker, co-laborer in the barbershop. Give us a shout out. Come see us.
Big Mike, I know you're listening. Man, look, what type of discussions do you have in the barbershop?
Hey, what's I don't even know where to start. let's go light, right? Let's start out lightweight, right? First of all, I have the LeBron conversation. Right? I want to inform all of our listeners and anybody that becomes a new listener to the Bookkeeper Podcast, hashtag TBK247, to understand that you have never seen a basketball player like LeBron James ever in your life. Value it while you have it, okay? Understand that. Now, I'm a big LeBron James fan, as you all can just tell. I do think that Magic Johnson is really the best basketball player ever. He doesn't
get sir.
Just do like that. But LeBron is different. So we have those type conversations, those type arguments, those type discussions in the barbershop. But anything pertaining to life, we discuss it in the barbershop. Everybody has an idea. Everybody has a, you know, has a question about certain aspects of our life, and we hash those things out in the barbershop. We try to help one another. We try to build one another up in that way. You know, brothers have, you know, whether it's career things, college life, you know, all these types of things. We discuss them in the shop, man. So, you know, you come in and whatever is on your mind, you put it on the floor, and we have a bevy of experts that are sitting around that probably know something about what you're talking about. And if they don't, then they will still make a comment to start a discussion or bring a question up to make us ponder, to make us think. And I think Darryl, that's what goes missing about sometimes the conversations in the barbershop. That sometimes people don't realize that some brothers are making certain comments and asking certain questions just to receive a better point of view from somebody else. Right? It's not so much that they believe what they're saying. They're putting it on the floor to cause us to think and to cause a discussion to see what the response is. And, you know, being the owner of the barbershop, and it's plenty of times that's exactly what I'll do. You know, I'll give a different perspective about something just to see how brothers will respond and what will the consensus be from the brothers in the place.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you do that, and you do that well. And I respect, even it's kid friendly. And although the tough discussions from everything from basketball to track to, especially, Lord forgive me, Alabama football to everything else, don't you say Roll Tide on this podcast. Look, you'd have tricked me into saying.
You just said.
But what I do love is it's kid friendly, and you do well. Everybody, I think, in the shop, I even like the signs on the wall that says no cursing. With that being said, and what you said, can the barbershop become your pulpit at times?
Oh yeah, it not only can become, it is my pulpit.
Amen.
It is that mat that I stand on is my pulpit, because you know, even though we talking just you know, about sports and various things of that nature and lighthearted items as well. You know, there have been a lot of spiritual breakthroughs that have happened in the barbershop. There's a lot that within those 15 to 25 minutes that a person is in the chair, or if they decide to stay in the shop for a longer period of time, there's been a lot of Christ soul winning that has happened, and I've seen some life changing things take place after some brothers have received the help that they need and the guidance that they need and the prayer that they need. You know, a lot of times, man, I'm laying my hands on my client's head all the time, and many times I start to take the opportunity that sometimes I may not pray out loud to where they actually know that I'm praying for them when I'm laying my head on them, but yes, oftentimes sir. When I lay my head on them, man, I'm saying prayers quite often. You know, and there are times when, you know, and it's all by the grace of God that this pulpit and this church that I'm in the barbershop, where the spirit that's within me is able to feel the spirit that is within certain persons when they enter into the place, just based on certain things that they say, or a lot of times certain clients, when they come in and they're quiet and just the way that they look, you know, God has given me utterance in some of those moments to have some pertinent conversation with that person. And God has equipped me sometimes with the scripture that will be their help. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen all the time. You know, sometimes I just say, hey, you know, pray. I'm going to pray for you. You know, and I may not have the scripture for them. And I just encourage them to pick up the Bible. And then other times I may have the exact scripture. God may give me, not that I may have, God may give me the exact scripture for that person. So I'm grateful that is, not only does it become the pulpit every day, but it is the pulpit daily.
Amen. And that brings me to what you're saying, that I never knew that. And me and you, we go way back. We're great friends.
The riders, survivors.
Yes, sir. Don't say the rest of it. The people
yeah,
listening.
Yeah, we won't let them all. We won't let everybody all. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, you're in Klein Teasy. Yeah. For y'all that don't know, Klein Teal is my younger brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And for everybody listening. For everybody listening, Jamal, a clientele, that is Pastor Richardson's younger brother. And that's how we met, in the studio back in the day, back in the heyday, back in the times that I was nowhere near God. But God had a plan. God had a plan. And with you telling how you lay your hands on people every day and how you pray over them without them knowing, and how the Lord has gave you discernment also to be able to tell with some of the people what they're going through when they walk into the shop. I was one of them people. And as much as I had known you, I didn't realize, and I'm gonna give you some of your flowers here, how anointed you were in the discernment and the things that I was going through in my life that I was confiding in you. You gave me the book of James and you told me to read the book of James for 30 days over and over and over and over and over again. Now, here's a lesson for everybody listening. The reason I know it was the Holy Spirit in you and the man of God in you and how you abide in Jesus and Jesus abiding you is because when I asked you why you gave me them scriptures, you said because the Holy Spirit told you so. That was it. That was your answer. That was your answer. And I just wanted to make record of that publicly, you know, with everybody listening, that not only are you a young pastor, but you are a pastor out here trying to live your life for God. And I want to thank you for that.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And I'm grateful, you know, I'm grateful for the relationship, grateful that God, you know, brought us together in that way, and used me, you know, because it's, you know, when you say that, it's humbling, you know, it's humbling to know that God will use a person like me to help somebody else. You know, and that's why I, you know, the song with the person that sings it, the more and more I live, the more and more I understand what the brother was saying when he said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody.
Yes, sir.
Anybody. You know, it wasn't that the brother thought less of himself, but he actually understood that his true value was in being able to be a vessel of God to speak the gospel to anybody that he came in contact with, right? And so that's what's humbling is that God has allowed his gospel to live in me, you know, and use me, because I'm no saint by no means, you know, of the imagination. I have sins and faults that I have committed, and I have, you know, things that I have to be mindful of within myself daily, that I have to die of daily, as Paul says as well. And so I'm just grateful, brother, that God, you know, put us together, and grateful that you humbled yourself to allow the Spirit to speak to you, right? Because that's the other side of it, is that yes, God used me, but God used you, right? Because the Spirit was churning within you, causing you to seek out the gospel, right? You were desiring a relationship with God, right? And God just used me to do that, right? You know, I tell the listeners, I'm going to take over the show right now. You know, because prior to that, we were just really acquaintances.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, your relationship with my brother Jamal, with y'all were rapping and doing those things, and I knew of you, right? But I didn't really know you. You know, we had never, you know, I don't even think we had each other's phone number at that time, right? We just, you know, I knew you come to the barbershop, you know, he would cut your hair. I knew you, you know, from the studio, and that was it. Like, you know, we cordial, you know what I'm saying? Like, anybody cool with my brother, I'm cool with him as well. But, you know, but then as you know, seeking God, you know, then God, you know, calls you to talk to me, and God calls me to talk to him. And after I went and talked to him about you, then he said what he said, and ever since then, you know, we've been GNing together all the time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And big shout out for that, man. Jamal, just how family orientated we are. Mm-hmm. He even came, my mother came in, Jamal came down, my cousin came through for my first sermon ever. That was at one of the churches that you was a shepherd over. And man, I just love being in the family of God. On this podcast, I really don't talk scripture. But for everybody listening, doesn't mean I can't talk scripture. But when you have the presence of one of your mentors in your life, and we just sitting down and we talking, man, I just appreciate everything you do.
Check out Hugh Hollow's Breakthrough featuring DJ Natasha Rock off his new EP, Hosanna. Remember, you heard it here first, only on the Bookkeeper 247 podcast.
You ain't never gotta run this race alone, Lord knows.
He knows
all about your struggles and all your troubles.
God sees you on the brink of your breakthrough. Don't lose sight, don't look left and don't look right. Put your best foot forward, headstrong, skin tough. Embrace the journey with your chest out, chin up. Just keep some God in your pathway. Do your part and lean on the Lord, he'll meet you halfway. It ain't an issue that he can't help you get through, and every threat to your faith he's already hip to.
Never alone, never on your own. He will never forsake you, never leave.
That he
he's with you, you never alone in it. So wherever you weak at, he can make you strong in it. It probably seemed like it's taking forever, but forever in God's eyes, always better than never. We catch tough breaks in life, it's frustration, but it's crucial we learn to stand firm, no cupcaking.
Word.
Nobody said it would be easy peasy, believe me, this stone cold world can do you greasy. But you was made in the image of God. Satan's a bum and everything about him is a fraud. Pick up your cross and follow Christ so he can up the ante. Pick up his word and rest in it, watch it come in handy.
Oh yeah.
There's plenty value in what it's worth. You can find unexplainable peace, sweet as Mrs. Buttersworth.
Real.
Stay under par when you know the courses. Let the heavy winds pass by. Sometimes you gotta hold your horses
before you break through.
You ain't never gotta run this race alone, Lord. All about your struggles and all your troubles.
God, Lord, you on the brink of your breakthrough. Don't lose sight. Don't look left and don't look right. Put your best foot forward. Headstrong, skin tough. Embrace the journey with your chest out, chin up. Just keep some God in your pathway. Do your part and lean on the Lord. He'll meet you halfway. It ain't an issue that he can't help you get through. And every threat to your faith, he's already hip to.
First time ever on the podcast, we have some listener questions. So this question comes from my brother Hugh Holler out there in the Christian rap game. He wanted me to ask you, a lot of new age religions have been developed in this information age from the internet. How do you feel about the internet as far as how Satan uses it and how God can also use it?
I think I would say, and thank you, Brother Hugh Holler. Thank you, Brother Hugh Holler, for the question, and much respect to your ministry and your music and the things that you do. I really respect it as well. But I would say to that question that this is not new. This is just a new form, if you will, but the same principles are exhibited through this. And I say that, this is why I say that. Most of these religions are not new. They have just gained new life, a renewed life, as a result of a new medium that they can travel through. I can recall growing up in Linden. I grew up in the Apostolic Overcoming Holiness Church in Linden. That's AOH Church. It's a Pentecostal church. And one of the pastors back in the 80s, he used to rail against the television. So think about it. In the 80s, televisions were not commonplace in the household. I know now people have flat screens in every room.
That's
of
right.
Their home. But in the 80s, there was only most households, if they had a television, it was only one television and it was in the living room. And certain shows came on and everybody gathered around and watched. Right? This is just a new medium that these things are traveling by. So that's first part, I would say, is that none of these things are really new. They're just gaining renewed life through new mediums of communication. The way that, and to that point, I think both Satan and Jesus Christ utilizes these things, because it is what is present in the world. For some reason, I'm reminded of when the people tried to trap Jesus with showing him about paying taxes, and he looked at the money and said, "Who whose name and image is on this. And he said, so pay unto Caesar what Caesar's. Basically, Jesus, to me, in that, you can read a lot into that, but for this, I use it to say that what Jesus was saying is that you're present in this world, and you're going to have to operate within its laws and with what's available, right? So the very fact that we are here doing a podcast is demonstrative of the fact that the gospel can go out through the same medium on which you have a lot of evil going out. If you look on Spotify or Apple or any of these other mediums that podcasts are on, you can type in and search for anything that you want to listen to, and there's a podcast for it, whether it's righteous or whether it's satanic, whether it's good or whether it's bad. It's on whatever medium you want to find it on. So the biggest thing that we have to try to do is we have to try to get to everyone early enough to let them know what the gospel is. And therefore, they will search out for the gospel more than they will those things that are unlike God and unlike Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah, I would add to that, too, that the discernment of the Holy Spirit is still needed while looking for answers on Google.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the second part of this new segment, we have a question from our very own, the artist on the team, Eric Ellens. And Brother Eric formed this question, and I thought it was a great question, especially for our time and in the culture. But in our culture, a lot of us feel like this is the white man's religion. How would you address the disconnect between the church and the culture?
Okay. Thank you, Eric, for the question, and thank you for posing that in that way. I would say that, first of all, back to what you said to the other question about discernment and Googling things, right? Google has a lot of good information and a lot of bad information. So I think the first question ties into this question as well, is that if somebody believes that Christianity is only a white man's religion, if they search Google, they will be able to find the truth in that this is not a white man's religion. And there are many teachers and scholars that are white that will show you the truth in their research as well with that. So for us, I think the biggest thing for us would be to promote the truth in that way. During this time, during the pandemic and George Floyd's assassination or murder, by the hands of the police, those police in Minneapolis, wasn't it? Right.
That's right.
We ended up getting a rise in the word matter. Black lives matter, representation matters, right? Blue lives matter, all these various matters, right? What matters most, right? So I think we need to get back to the fact that Christ is what matters most. And when we tell the story of Jesus Christ, we need to combat the fact that some believe that this is a white religion. We need to show the people that were actually there during that time, what did they look like? And also study the ethnicity of these areas during the time period in which Jesus was alive. Many times we apply these places where we see, you know, when we see a picture in the Bible and it says that this was the track where this was where Jesus lived, right? And I like the old Bibles, King James Version Bibles will give you multiple maps to show you how over time these areas change, right? Because they were leading us to the truth in those old Bibles and the pictures in the back, showing us that, okay, this is what it looked like when Jesus was alive. And then now, over time, it changed to this, then it changed to this, then it changed to this. And then now, in present day, it is this, because you had different people conquering different areas. So to Eric's question, in that, I would say simply, first of all, that Christianity is not a white man's religion. Secondly, to be able to combat that in this present age, we just need to continue to tell the truth and promote the gospel as it is, and allow the Holy Spirit to give people discernment to gain an understanding of those things. Because when we really focus on what matters most is belief in Jesus Christ and allowing him to direct your life, and then living by the Holy Spirit so that you can gain the understanding that you need. And when you humble yourself to the Holy Spirit, you don't even have to search something on Google.
Amen.
If you just submit yourself to the power of the Holy Spirit will tell you what's right and wrong. And so we have to block out the world and center ourselves on what really matters. And that's on Christ and Christ alone.
Amen. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Pastor Eddie Richardson. When we come back after these messages, we will be hearing Pastor Richardson's testimony.
Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. If you want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. Also, if you would like to receive a $20 gift card from Amazon, follow the link in the show notes and sign up for a paid plan. This will notify Buzzsprout that we sent you, and you'll receive more details. This will definitely help support our show. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners. And the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters who's already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 24 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Pastor Eddie Richardson. As we move into this segue, I love to hear testimony, and so do our listeners. Can you please share your testimony with us of how you came to Christ?
Well, as I said, I grew up in Linden, Alabama. Grew up in Elway's Church, Pentecostal Church. And in the Pentecostal Church, we were trained to get on the altar and tarry, calling on the name of Jesus until he came. Now, I do not promote that at all. Because during that time, I never felt the Spirit come in that way. Some may have, and I think some did. I think, you know, seeing some, that some did. But for me, my journey to Christ was that I was raised in the church. I was, you know, my father is a pastor, grandmother is a pastor, aunts pastor, uncles pastor. So I grew up in the church. I grew up learning scripture. I grew up singing in the choir. And so the relationship with God started early on in life. I think I may have been deep in high school before I said my first curse word. I lived by fear of God, a fear of sin in that way. But as I got older, I realized that those things were good, and I'm appreciative for that foundation that was laid. So as I got older and got married, I constantly just grew in the word and grew with God, is what I would say, in the relationship with God. And through my relationship with my wife, I was able to grow closer to Christ, being able to identify areas within my life where sin hid in my life, right? And be able to grow closer. So mine has been a constant journey, and a journey that's still going. So I do understand that after believing, making that first confession and believing in Jesus Christ, that my soul was saved and it was secure. But the process, is daily. And that's why I think Paul said it, that I die daily. Because he knew that it was not just good enough to say that I've been saved and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized, one time and then that being good. But he understood that salvation is a once occurrence, but you must live it out daily. So that's my testimony, is I strive to humble myself daily to allow God to show me and protect me from any sin and anything that may be creeping around the door. One scripture that's on my mind, if I may, is the story of Cain and Abel and what God told Cain in the text, that when he was upset about God not honoring his offering, God warned him and said, if you make sure you do right, because if you don't, sin is lying at the door. And that Old Testament text still speaks today to me, is that never wake up. It tells me never wake up with a haughty spirit, a high-mindedness about your salvation, but understand that you have to be humble to strive to do right daily, because every single day sin is lying at the door. It's lying at the door, and those doors are every single thought and every activity that we partake in life. Sin is always waiting to jump in some way, shape, or form. And so that's what I have to watch for in my life daily. So that's how I strive to live. Don't always get it right. Sometimes that door of sin, I walk right in it. I walk right into it. And then I have to ask God to forgive me for it. Sometimes I see it, sometimes I don't. But I'm grateful that the grace of God is present. And every day I awaken to new mercies.
Amen. Amen. And what you said, I heard a lot of building a relationship, getting your own relationship. We know that I knew that your dad and your grandmother and your auntie was in the ministry and everything like that. And I would add to that, although we fall short and we walk through the doors of sin, laying there is another thing. And that's why I commend anybody, that we're gonna fall short, but to stay there, To stay there and waddle in that sin is where we need help with either prayer, fasting, like-minded people and everything to be able to guide us not to stay there, because we all fall short. And I appreciate that honesty from you, especially being a pastor, keeping it real in that regard. I always get the opportunity in this segment to talk to that one out there feeling like it's impossible to win. If you could talk to that person right now that's on the fence of accepting Christ and God's will for their life, what advice would you give them?
I would say to that person that is out there, first of all, I'll let you know that you are made in the image of God. God loves you just like you are. God sees you. God does not look down upon you, but God is standing right here, present, ready and willing, with his hand stretched out still, and willing to accept you just like you are. The reason he's willing to accept you like you are is because he made you, and the way that you feel about your life right now, being on the fence, he's the only one that has the key to the fence to open it, to bring you into the side where the pasture is truly green, to bring you into the place where the waters are still, to bring you into the place of where calm and peace will reside over your life. And all you have to do is believe in his son, Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, that he got up on the third day, and that he ascended into heaven, and that one day he's going to come back. All you have to do is believe that. And through that belief, you now have the victory over all the challenges that you may face in your life. And the way that you win those victories is taking the problem to God in prayer. Right? We had a debate about in the barbershop about who's most valuable in basketball. Is it the players or is it the coach? And we said, you know what? Players by themselves, they are great and they have skill. But the players don't win championships by themselves. It's great players who have great coaches who win championships. Those are the ones that win championships. If it was the players themselves, everybody would have a championship. So I say that to say that you by yourself, us by ourselves, we cannot win. We may see some success here and there, but it's fleeting. But the championship is only won when we allow Jesus to coach us through every single day. The good players bring the issue on the floor to why they're not having success to the coach on the sideline. And then the coach draws up a play and sends them back in to run that play. If they run that play and execute it correctly, then they will have success. If they don't execute it correctly, then they will fail. And that's what happens with many of us. We, first of all, don't take the problem to our coach, Jesus Christ. And as a result, we don't receive the play on how to win and have success in the problem that we're facing. So that's all we have to do. Bring it all to Jesus Christ. He will give us the discernment in his Holy Spirit, who is his assistant coach, who communicates to us and helps us in all of life situations.
Amen. Amen. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Eddie Richardson. Stay locked in as we will be back for this last segue after these messages.
Hey, family, I hope you're enjoying the show. In order to change the culture for God through media, we have plenty of opportunities for you to grow with us on the bookkeeper247.com. Do you need production for your podcast or YouTube video? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to do album reviews, start your own podcast, write your own devotionals? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to report Christian news from hip-hop to book reviews, as well as related topics in our culture? Look no further. We got you. By partnering with us, we can do all these things for the glory of God. Email us at thebookkeeper247@gmail.com and let's start making strides to influence the culture from a godly perspective. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family. Well, we are sitting down and chopping it up with Pastor Eddie Richardson. As we move into this segue, what do you think the state of Christian hip hop is? Is it good? Does it need to make changes? Your thoughts.
I think it's good. It's definitely going through some transitional phases with the style of music, and that's everything. Everything goes through that. You know, preaching goes through different phases in that way. You know, I think now honestly, you know, I have not listened to everybody in depth like I did, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Haven't been able to digest as much as I used to in my earlier times, and I guess that just comes with age and children and more responsibility, you know. But just from, you know, snippets of things that I hear and listen on Spotify and things like that, you know, I like the groove, I like the music, I like the feel, you know. If there's anything that I would ask any artist to make sure that they do, is to make sure that they are constantly reading and studying their word. You know, I think that's key, because the more scripture and word that you intake within yourself, it's going to come out within their metaphors and their rhymes.
That's right.
And it may not come out, and I'm not saying that they have to quote a scripture, you know, but when they're reading scripture more and studying scripture more, then the concepts of scripture will come out in their song, you know. And I can hear that in quite a few, you know, that the name of it is not there or whatever, but you know, it's the concepts of the scriptures are there. So I'm glad to hear those, and I just encourage all artists to do that, to make sure that you are constantly reading and studying your scriptures, and it will come out. And as you strive to live out the life that way, then the way you live is going to come out. It's going to come out on tape. You know, as you know, Darryl, we from the time they used to say people were banging on wax.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? So I would just encourage the artists, hey, start banging, just keep banging, get banging gospel on wax. You know, keep banging gospel on wax.
Yes, sir. That reminds me of special shout out to Reverend Johnson, one of the listeners out there. But behind closed quarters, he told me before I had my first sermon at my home church, Thelgood Memorial, CME, shout out to Thelgood out there listening. But he told me whatever we're eating comes out in the pulpit. So if we're eating too much CNN, too much CNNBC, too much Fox News, too much stock market, too many sports, whatever we're eating is going to come out in the pulpit. And what you just referenced about, you would encourage a Christian artist to stay in the word, then it's going to come out in their music. It's going to come out in their metaphor. See, that's one thing I love. Like the golden time of Christian hip hop to me is a personal choice. But one of the things that I love listening in Christian hip hop is when I hear something and I'd be like, oh, wow, I just read that in John. Oh, wow, that was in Matthew. Man, I know he ain't in Deuteronomy like that, right? And a lot of people will say these artists aren't eating the word, but I would question them. Are they not eating the word, or you're not eating the word because you don't hear it?
Yeah, that's good, man. That's good. And you know, speaking of that, in the golden age, if I just you know, I remember when you know, we talking about banging on wax, like banging on CDs was happening within, and still happening, I believe, to a certain degree, within gospel artists. You know, I know during one point, Ken Jones was called out, you know, early on, saying that his music wasn't, you know, this, wasn't that, and I love and respect the way that he handled it. Is he stayed true to what he did. But that next CD, his answer was within the credits on the CD, he put the scripture reference for every song that he made on that CD.
Okay, Joe.
The songs he did his thing the way he does his thing. And you know how Ken Jones give you that smooth, you know what I'm saying, soulful flow from, you know, and from his roots, you know what I'm saying, of how he grew up and his father and, you know, those type things and staying in the word. And man, he gave it to him. He's like, okay, y'all questioning whether or not my music is, you know, foundational in scripture. Okay, well, I'll give you an answer. I'm not going to quote the verses. I'm going to give you the verse that I'm singing about, though. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the verse that I'm singing about. Yeah, when I say it's a wonder over the top of your head, yeah, you know, I'm talking about that scripture, you know what I'm saying, that says the Lord will open up the wonders of heaven and pour you out a blessing.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm making it in a form that's entertaining, because music is entertainment, right? And so I think that's the same thing that goes back to Brother Eric's question. That's how we answer. That's how we give the people what they need. It's through that way. We're giving them the scripture, and they don't even know they're getting scripture when they're singing this song. But because we are saturating it in the spirit, then we're striving to lead them to where we got it from.
That's right. Yeah, I like to tell a lot of the seasoned saint that through this realm of Christian hip hop and things that our children are listening to and that we've listened to, that the message hadn't changed. Mm-hmm. It's just the delivery.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know, you just have to sometimes take time to listen, because one of the things I was going to ask is, how do we transition from a traditional seasoned church and introduce Christian hip hop? But at the same time, I would say that us as younger people, we have to be just as patient with the seasoned saints as they have to be just as patient with us, because our children are going to listen to rap music. This is not a time that we live in where rap music is going to go out and fade out. That has been, they thought that in the 80s, and it's 2022 and beyond, and still going. So our kids, while they're in our control as parents, and we know what we play in front of, the world is also going to play what we may not play in front of. So the message is the same, it's just the delivery is different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. And with that being said, with everything going on in Christian hip hop, is there room in Christian hip hop for explicit music just for the church, the saved, or explicit Christian music to lead the unsaved to the church?
I do think that it is, you know, because there's no different than sometimes when I get up to preach, my sermon is maybe dealing with something that we as my church itself has to do. And within that, I believe that God still speaks to whoever listens to that message. So I believe it's much like even when we read the Bible, a lot of those scriptures were explicitly for people in that time, right? Some mm-hmm. of those prophecies and things were dealing with what the people in that very time were dealing with. But yet, here it is in the 21st century, we still read them and are able to glean life from them for ourselves in this time as well. So I think as long as we are, the explicitness needs to be in the gospel itself. Right? And so if you explicitly in the gospel and being obedient to what God is calling you to do, then the word of God will not return void. It will go out and perform what it needs to do in that time.
Amen. Amen. One of my friends told me, one of my church members said that as a Christian, we have to own the hypocrisy that we do, right? Sister Catherine out there. And I would take that to ask this before we close out. In being explicit in reaching the unchurched, how do you look at cussing in Christian hip-hop?
I don't think cursing has a place in gospel music, you know, Christian hip-hop. I don't think it has a place. And the reason being because it becomes conformity. It is not meeting a person where they are, right? Just because those Pharisees and Sadducees and people that desire to kill Jesus. Jesus didn't meet them with the same, as they say, energy that they met him with, right? He stayed true to his ministry and his work, right? You know, what is it? Romans? Is it Romans? No, it's not Romans. No, it's not Romans. But Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ."
That's right.
Right. The world is cursing in their music. You know, sinfulness is going that route. And the connotation that is met with curse words has always been negative. You know, I had some brothers, I don't know what country they were from, out of Africa, some years ago in the barbershop. And they were speaking in their native tongue. But like you said earlier, I have no cursing signs in the barbershop. They were speaking in their native tongue, but every time they said a curse word, it was in English. And I questioned, I said, sir, there's no cursing in my barbershop. Right? And so then they went on and they said some more. And I said, sir, there's no cursing in the barbershop. And I said, as a matter of fact, let me ask you a question. Do you not have curse words in your native tongue? And they said, no, we don't. And I said, so if you don't have them in your native tongue and you were speaking in your native tongue, why would you switch in the midst of your native tongue and speak this one curse word and the very next word is in your native tongue? You know, and they're dumbfounded, right? And I said, well, if you don't have curse words in your native tongue, then obviously nobody needs to be cursed. Right? And so Jesus came that we can have life and have that life more abundantly. The very thing of cursing somebody is, cursing is always negative. A curse is never good. That's throughout scripture, even when God cursed the people, it was because they had done something wrong and they were punished. Cursing is a punishment. Blessing is life. Therefore, if we are rapping Christian hip hop and it is supposed, and it, the very fact that it's Christian hip hop means that it's Christ-based hip hop. in some way, shape, or form, or it is supposed to be promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, or supposed to be trying to save somebody and help them believe in Christ. Therefore, there should be no cursing, because Christ didn't come to curse, but he came that we all may have life and have that life more abundantly.
Come on.
Therefore, cursing has absolutely no place within anything that is based in Christ, whether a sermon or anything. It has no place.
Amen. Yeah, man. As you was talking, it made me think, shout out to, it's funny because I'm gonna give her flowers too. Shout out to my mama, my number one fan, right? But we was having a conversation that she respects more what we do as a podcast with the Christian hip hop artists. But one of the things that she disliked, and you reminded me of this in this conversation, was how the Christian hip hop artists acts just like the worldly artist, in a manner of not saying that they should be in a three-piece suit, but with their pants sagging down to their knees. And like I told Mother, there's nothing you're gonna be able to do about that. That's the culture. That's how a lot of these young men dress. But one of the things that she said that intrigued me was how they're still grabbing themselves, their private parts and stuff like that, you know, while they're performing. And then they complain because the church doesn't want them to perform in the church and things like that. So that's not a big discussion, and we all know we could go on for years about that. Owning what we do as a culture in this Christian hip hop. Well, I'll say this. One of the things I told my mother is, in the scriptures and what I've heard from several pastors is, yes, it says come as you are to the church. But after you've been in that church so long, the skirts ought to get longer and the pants ought to raise up, right? You know, and that's what I would give a shout out to our culture about Christian hip hop, whether you're doing it or not doing it. Work on your presentation and try not to act like the world, even though we know that that's the culture that we come from.
All right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there has to be some type of change, you know, within anything and anybody. Change should happen. Like I referenced earlier, Paul said, I die daily. Paul wasn't saying he literally died, but, you know, I'm just saying that I make changes daily with my life. I make sure that I don't, you know, be careful of what I'm doing daily. Right? And so, yes, I definitely agree. Change is always necessary.
Absolutely. Well, y'all, this has been fun. Man, Pastor Richardson, give a shout out to your church, man, and invite the people to the service. Let them know where you passed at. Again, let them know where the barbershop at, and tell them what time the service start on Sunday.
All right. First of all, thank you, Darrell. Definitely appreciate his time, and I always enjoy our conversation together. And thank you for inviting me on your podcast. I want to also give a shout out, first of all, thank my beautiful wife, Monique Richardson, and my daughters, Camille, Carmen, and Christina. I'm definitely appreciative that God allows me to be a husband and a father. It gives me great joy to serve in those capacities. And they also serve God with me as we pastor Bass Tabernacle CME Church. We are located at 22890 County Road 32 in Akron, Alabama, 35441. You can go to our website. You can find us on our website. Our web address is www.basstabernaclecme.com. Also, I've been doing some live broadcasting on Facebook and loading the sermons after that on my YouTube page, personal YouTube page, Eddie C. Richardson. We have our Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. And we have our worship services starting at 11 o'clock a.m. We have now recently gone back into the building, but we also are doing live broadcasts as well. My employment job wise is a barber, is Blueprint Barbers and Styles, 2160 Suite A, as in Adam, the first man that was made. Amen. Suite A, Green Springs Highway, Birmingham, Alabama, 35205. You can look us up on the web, search us in whatever search bar you have, and we should pop up as one of the barbershops in Birmingham that you will find, Blueprint Barbers and Styles or Blueprint Barbershop. Click on the tab that you see on there, lead you to our website, and you can set an appointment and come get you a nice haircut so you can feel good about yourself and really look like who God has made you to be.
Yes, sir. In HD. HD, no, 4K, baby. 4K.
Yes, sir. So many changes have happened with these televisions now. I can't keep up.
Me either. Yes, sir. And man, I want to give you a special shout out, Pastor Richardson. It's so hard to keep calling you Pastor Richardson because you're such a great friend. But I respect you, man, and I appreciate how you seed into me, right? You're in my favorite. You can actually call me at midnight and my phone gonna ring. So that's just how much our relationship means to me, and not only seeding in me, but seeding into my children, my mother. The conversations we have, I think, are priceless. They've helped me grow. They've sharpened me. They've helped me deal with life. And I would say that one of your greatest attributes, whether you think so or not, is how to still be a pastor, but to also be a loving friend. Sometimes you allow me to have a safe place to vent and to talk about life without giving me all the cliche statements or just pray about it. And other times, that cliche statement, when you say it, it means so much more because I know that's exactly what you mean. So I appreciate the love, the hard love, the concern and everything that you give me and you have seeded in my life. And I thank you because I still have to go to it. That Thompson Chain study Bible you gave me for my very first sermon that I preached at your church. Boy, that's that thing right there. That's my go-to when I get ready to teach Sunday school at our church, when I get ready to minister or do a sermon or I fact check some of my thoughts or what somebody else said. All them other Bibles that I have now, I still pull out that Thompson Chain, and I really do appreciate that, my brother.
Indeed, man. Shout out to my grandmother, Nellie Mae Butler. That was the one that she always had, and that's why I bought it. And yeah, it is. So definitely, man. And thank you for your kind words, brother. You know, I love you, and I love your family, man. And I definitely appreciate all that you're doing for, you know, within your family, and also for the culture of Christian hip hop. You know, I think this what you're doing is valuable and much needed. You know, and I just look forward to the great things that God has in store through you for the future.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, my brother, and I love you. And family, you know where you can find us. Hashtag TBK247. And I guarantee we'll pop up on any web browser. Thank you again, family, and we out.
How you guys doing on today? We thank you so much for listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. We thank you that you have taken the time out of your day to be engaged with us. We thank you for checking out the special guest on today. We really hope that this person's testimony has encouraged you about hearing God's voice. And what I want to do right now is I want to actually say a prayer for you. Maybe you're in your walk right now where you're struggling to hear God's voice. One place we definitely can hear his voice, the most prevalent place is in scripture. But the beautiful thing about this relationship with him is that we can hear his voice through his Holy Spirit. We can have a personal relationship with God. And in that personal relationship, God can speak to us. He can speak through us. And it's just an amazing thing. So I'm actually going to say a prayer for you wherever you are right now. And I just hope that you absorb this, that you just take this in, and I hope that it encourages you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the podcast on today. I thank you, Lord God, for the special guest that has come on, shared their testimony about hearing your voice, about letting your voice guide them and lead them into the ministry that they have. And Father, I just want to pray for those who are listening right now who may be struggling. Maybe they have some sin in their life that may be causing a blockage from hearing your voice. So I just pray that they feel convicted and just confess their sin, because Lord, it says in your word that when we confess our sin, when we acknowledge our sin, Lord God, it removes that obstacle, Lord God, and we're able to reestablish that relationship with you. Or maybe, Father, there are those out there who are struggling and they just don't understand. They don't really quite get who you are. So Father, I pray that this week that you speak to them, that you touch them, Lord God, that they have an encounter with you, Lord, that they experience you like never before, that it goes beyond religion, that they understand that you are here to have a relationship with us. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, but to also bridge the gap so we can have a relationship with you. So I pray that you use your Holy Spirit to touch somebody this week right now who's listening to this podcast, or maybe in the future on replay, that they would hear your voice through the opening of your word, or maybe it's through a prophetic message, maybe it's through someone they have an encounter with, and they understand that you're speaking, that you're willing to have a relationship with them, and that, Father, it's about understanding your voice and what you have to say to us, rather than us listening and leaning on other people's opinions. So, Father, we thank you. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. And, Father, we just thank you so much for what you're doing, what you have done, and what you will do. In your son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. We are on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, AudioMac, and many more platforms. If you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside the show notes. There, you will have an opportunity to give a one-time blessing or monthly if you choose. Basically, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give would be very much appreciated. The donations will help our ministry help others, as well as our growth regarding better equipment, so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again, and until next time, God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless.